It's time to join the American family Robinson again. Gus Olson has bought the Centerville Herald and made Luke his managing editor again. And Gus has also rented out the ground floor of the paper to a pet shop. Several of the pet shop's choicest animals, including a monkey, a tame white rat, and a goat, have taken to wandering about in the Herald's premises upstairs. As the program opens today, we find Luke busy writing an editorial, while Mugwump, the goat, stands by listening attentively to the click of the keys.
Bah!
Oh, confound it. When I want your opinion, I'll ask for it. And so the new Herald goes forward, keeping aloft the lamp of progress. Keeping aloft the lamp of progress. Yeah, that's rather neat. Don't you think so, Mugwump? Here, get away from there. That's my editor. Give me that, you. Nice, Mugwump. Nice, Mugwump. Come here.
Hey, what's this, boss?
Oh, that darn goat.
Boss, I don't think it looks so
here,
good.
Give me that paper, you.
Boss, I don't think you should ought to play with the goat during office hours. Oh, it wouldn't look good to the rest of the office.
Yes, but Gus, Mugwump is eating my editorial. Here, you let go of that.
Ah, he's only playing. He don't mean no harm. Look, boss, I'll get the paper away from him.
Yeah.
Watch me.
Yeah. Look out, Gus. Look out. He's backing up. He's got his head. Look out!
Oh, gee, that hurts!
Get away from me.
Yeah. I'm fond of animals, but that goat has got to go.
Those are my sentiments exactly, Gus. And I've already taken steps in that direction. Here. Can I help you up?
What do you mean, steps?
Well,
I guess
you don't read your own paper, Gus. Here, take a look at the box on page 1 of today's first edition. It's just hit the street. Read it.
I noticed to the children of Centerville, the first 3 kitties who appear personally at the office of the Centerville Herald today will receive from the editor a monkey, a tame white rat, and a goat, all in prime condition. First come, first serve. Ask for Luke Robinson. Say, that's a pretty good idea. That proves the Herald is a friend of the little kitties.
Certainly, but the main thing right now is to get rid of the animals.
Yeah, I guess when we get the animals out of here, you'll be more comfortable.
Much.
Especially when them Venetian blinds gets put up.
Venetian blinds?
Yeah, that's a new kind of shade made out of slats to keep the sun out of your eyes.
Yeah?
I read about it in this magazine, The Office Beautiful.
That sounds very nice.
I think we ought to get them. Letitia says
so. Oh, I thought so. Yeah? Any other suggestions for my well-being?
Well, I only want to make you comfortable, boss.
Oh, I'm all right. Everything's fine, except for feathers and stray bits of fur and odd noises.
I think you ought to have a secretary.
Huh?
Personally, I couldn't do without one myself.
Well, I've never found one necessary.
Oh, if the expense bothers you, don't give it another thought. Nothing is too good for my editor.
Well, all your editor wants is a chance to do some work.
I got it all fixed up for you, boss. I'm going to move a desk right in here with you.
Yes, but I don't need... It's nice, Gus, but I don't really...
Then she'll be right here when you want her.
But I don't know. I think that might be distracting, Gus.
Miss McGillicuddy wouldn't distract you.
Well, who? Now, you see here, Gus, enough is enough.
She's very quiet.
Who is?
Miss McGillicuddy. I'm trying to tell you, I'm promoting her to be your secretary.
Oh, my sainted aunt, I don't need a secretary, Gus, especially not Miss McGillicuddy.
You ought to have one anyway. It's more dignified.
But
I told you this morning, boss, I got a new telephone operator coming in, only you wasn't listening.
Mr. Olson, she's here. The new switchboard girl is here. Now, should I start in right now, being Mr. Robinson's secretary?
But Miss McGillicuddy, I don't...
Oh, it's such a satisfaction to know that my correspondence course has not been in vain. You know, I studied stenography by correspondence. And the professor wrote me that I could handle practically any secretarial job. If my employer was patient, of course.
Yeah, well, no, I wasn't consulted,
I'm sure that you're patient, aren't you, Mr. Robinson?
Mm.
You know, only the other night I was saying to my mother, I said, I think Mr. Robinson is one of the most patient...
Well, now, that's fine, Miss McGillicuddy, but I don't want to be selfish about that. Isn't there someone on the paper who needs a secretary more than I do?
No, boss. She's all yours.
Oh.
Well, I'll drop in on you later. I gotta go now. I gotta attend to some of my other interests. If you need me, boss, I'll be down at Sweeney's pool parlor.
Gus,
Goodbye, Mr. Olson, and thanks ever so much for the promotion. Of course, I'd rather have had a raise, but you can't expect everything at one time, can you?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, so long, boss.
Goodbye.
Oh, such a nice man, Mr. Olson. Always thinking of his employees' interests. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Look, once you're at the switchboard, there you are, aren't you? Yeah, no. But now take stenography. You see, that's different. One can forge ahead, so to speak, can't they?
Oh, quite so. Quite
and anyway, so. I think stenography's much more interesting, don't you? Isn't it cute, all those little pot hooks and things? See, when they slam down this way, that's for P and B. And then the turnaround slant the other way for J and J, and those things like sneezes.
Well, now that you're here, Miss McGillicuddy, you might as well take a telegram.
Oh, yes, certainly, Mr. Robinson. All righty. Just a minute. Go ahead. I'm waiting.
Day letter to my son at the Gotham Hotel in New York. Please wire definitely and as soon as possible just what you have learned concerning Betty and Dick.
Miss Ramsey, wait. You're going too fast.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
now, I think maybe you'd if you'd write the telegram down first, then I could copy it.
Well, if I do that, I might as well send the wire myself.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe if you went slower, I could get it all right.
Yeah.
Do you mind starting again?
Yeah. Please wire definitely and as soon as possible, just what you have learned concerning Betty and Dick.
Oh, Mr. Robinson, excuse me for interrupting, but what is Bob doing in New York? You never told me.
Bob went to New York to find Betty and Dick. They disappeared.
Oh, for goodness sake. What happened to them after they disappeared?
That's what we're trying to find out. That's what Bob is supposed to be doing.
Oh. You know, maybe they got kidnapped or something. Oh, something awful maybe happened. Oh, for goodness sake.
Miss McGillicuddy, do you mind taking the rest of this wire?
Oh, why, certainly, Mr. Robinson. It's just that I was thinking
Don't. Your mother and I demand that you either furnish complete report of activities or return home immediately. Now, send that off right away. And, Miss McGillicuddy.
Yes?
If you have any other work to do elsewhere in the office, I don't want you to feel that you must give me preference. Perhaps the new girl at the switchboard needs some help.
Oh, now, Mr. Robinson, now that's perfectly all right. I haven't another thing in the world to do except just work for you.
Of all people to be my secretary, Dot McGillicuddy. And this is what I've been homesick for.
Oh, what?
What's that?
Mr. Robinson! Oh, my goodness. Yes, the kids in Centerville are up here, and they're all yelling for animals. In fact, they started to fight with each other. What do I do? We haven't enough animals to go around.
Oh, my sainted aunt. Well, now, you're my secretary. You go out and handle the situation, and please close the door.
Oh, I don't know about that, Mr. Robinson. There wasn't a thing about handling children in my correspondence course.
Well, there was something in it about obeying orders, wasn't there?
Yes.
All right, then. Go.
Oh, very well, Mr. Robinson. If you want to be technical...
Hello?
Is this Mr. Luke Robinson, editor of the Centerville Herald?
Yes.
This is Wilbert K. Ogilby, principal of the Rutherford B. Hayes Grammar School.
Oh, yes, Mr. Ogilby. Can I be of any service?
You certainly can. It has come to my attention that your newspaper has enticed Centerville children to your office on the pretext of giving away animals.
What?
One half the entire fourth and fifth grades are now in your office instead of at the school.
Why, yes, Mr. Ogilby,
Robinson, I shall have to insist that you immediately order these children from your office so they may return to school. If this is not done, I shall be forced to dispatch several truant officers to your paper.
Why, certainly, Mr. Ogilby. Why, you need have no fear. Yes, indeed, I shall cooperate. Yes, indeed. Goodbye, Mr. Ogilby. Well...
Mr. Robinson. Yes, I've met you before.
Yes, I remember you too, Mrs. Higginbotham. What can I do?
I consider this an outrage, Mr. Robinson, a positive outrage.
What?
Hundreds of children rioting in your office.
Oh.
Why, I was barely able to get in here without having my clothes torn. What's the meaning of this disgraceful procedure? I should think
I don't think the children meant any harm, Mrs. Higginbotham. You see, we printed a notice about giving some animals away free today.
I never heard of anything so...
And now I think I'll print a notice saying that I'm giving children away free. Mrs. Higginbotham, would you mind closing that door? And what worthy cause are you representing today, Mrs. Higginbotham?
Mr. Robinson, I have just written a little paper dealing with the higher significance of the collectivistic theory of government.
Mm, I beg pardon?
And I wish you'd publish it in your newspaper as an editorial.
But, Mrs. Higginbotham, the editorial policy of this paper is not in favor of a collectivistic theory of government.
Oh, indeed. But, my dear man, surely you can't deny that collectivism
I want to tell you right now, Mrs. Higginbotham, that this newspaper supports the American system of government.
Well, yes, but...
Mrs. Higginbotham, there are only two kinds of government. One in which the citizen is supreme and the government obeys his will. The other in which the state is supreme and controls the citizens. The first is individualistic. That is the American system. The second is collectivistic, where a man is but a small cog in the machinery. His desires and will are sacrificed to the state.
Yes, I know, but we're going to change all that.
Just a minute, not so fast. Now, there is a simple way to determine whether a particular kind of government is successful. See what it's done for its people. The American system of government, operating in this country for more than 150 years, has given us the highest standard of living in the world. It has reduced the hours of work from an average of 60 a week in 1890 to less than 48 a week in 1936. It's given us the finest public school system that's ever been provided. It has increased the share of the national income paid out in the form of wages and salaries. In 1850, for instance, only 38% of the national income went to wages and salaries. But now, about 65% of the national income is paid out to the working men and working women.
Now, you needn't try to confuse me with all these figures. I know what I know.
And so do I, Mrs. Higginbotham. And I know that the American system has worked better than any other system. And that's why this newspaper and I choose to support it.
Oh, just because you don't agree with my viewpoint, you won't print my paper, is that it?
Well, I tell you what I'll do, Mrs. Higginbotham.
Thank goodness I got rid of those kids at last. There's still two out there that claim the goat, but they're brothers, so I guess I'll make it all right.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. I guess you don't want to be disturbed.
Mrs. Higginbotham, I'm a little busy just now. But if you'll leave your treatise here, I'll be glad to print it in the letters to the editor.
Well, I'll hold you to the promise. Here it is.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Mr. Robinson.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
It's here. That's a telegram.
Yes?
It just came collect. $6 from Bob.
$6? Well, it must contain all the information I've been looking for.
Please, may I open it? You see, I sent him kind of a little personal message of my own in your wire to him, and I just wondered if...
Oh, yes, go right ahead.
You sure you don't mind? Let's see, it says, please reserve 3 rooms at home. Arriving Thursday night. It sure was swell to hear from you again, Dot, and I haven't forgotten you for a minute.
Three rooms. Arriving Thursday night.
I haven't forgotten you for a minute, even if I have gone over big with a lot of these New York girls. Please save Friday night for me, and we can go to the movies and maybe get some ice cream at Flugelmeier's ice cream parlor. Oh, Dot, I will be so glad to see you again.
Say, what is this? Mr. McGillicuddy, doesn't he say any more about why he wants 3 rooms Thursday night?
Huh? I don't know. Ah, but wasn't it sweet of him to think of me like this? Listen, Mr. Robinson, I haven't finished the wire yet.
No, go ahead.
The boss says, Dot, you know I always have had a weakness for blondes. And believe me, kid, I am planning to see a lot of you this winter. Please try to meet me at the train.
What is this mysterious business about Bob's needing 3 rooms when he returns to Centerville on Thursday? Our next program will solve this mystery, so be sure to tune in. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.